What's up, everyone, and welcome to Get Good. I'm Lindsay, also known as Dr. Hops, if you're finding me from Twitch. Today, we'll be starting off 2022 talking about a question I got a little while ago from a member of my community. How do video games impact social skills? If you're ready, let's hop to it. So let's start out by talking about some of the feedback I got from last episode, which, if you remember, was about the body mechanics of PC versus console gaming. My hot take was that PC gaming was better overall for body mechanics compared to console gaming. I got one comment saying that the person had no idea the impact that sitting the way he did while console gaming could be harmful. While he's right, I want to highlight something again. There are people out there with absolutely trash posture, but no pain at all. And people with fantastic posture, but everything hurts. Everything depends on how your body can tolerate different postures, which is based on strength, endurance, and body type, among other things. So, when I talk about having more optimal posture, it's basically making sure that you have your muscles in the best position they can be anatomically so they can have the best chance at being the strongest for longest. This ultimately helps keep you in the same position for longer with less discomfort. But if you're not hurting and your body is good with whatever posture you choose, you know the saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So, on to today's topic. I got this question from one of the members of my community, and I think it is so great to talk about. Video games have gotten such a bad rep over the years and are only just now starting to recover from it, thanks to research and the good guys on the interwebs making some feel-good stories. So, let's break down the impact that video games have on social skills. And then I'll give you my hot take on if I think they help or hinder someone's ability to communicate. This falls into the category of social wellness, with a little hint of emotional wellness as well. So let's start with the basics. Video games help people develop problem-solving skills, strategy development skills, and creativity. They also help people discover and refine coping mechanisms when faced with failures or hardships within the game. People play video games for a lot of reasons, but the more common ones are to have fun, satisfy a need for competition, and, of course, to run away from the stress of the real world. We seem to be really good at that. Simple games that are easy to access, simple in concept, and playable on multiple mobile platforms tend to improve mood, improve relaxation, and can actually help manage anxiety. These are games like Candy Crush and Angry Birds. I know some of you might think that Candy Crush does the opposite. I know when I used to play that, I kind of felt the opposite, but hey, that's just what the research says. So, games like this tend to have one goal, like passing a level or getting some form of in-game currency, so they're more likely to help you relax. It's no guess that these kinds of games can actually help with social skills because you're more likely to communicate better with others if you're feeling more at ease overall. On the other hand, some solo games like Skyrim have a little caveat because you do tend to get some aspect of communication with the game that's more complex than something like Bejeweled. But the games we tend to know and love are the ones that are played with other people. More than 70% of gamers play with other people, from Farmville to World of Warcraft to Old School RuneScape. These are the games that tend to get the most attention. Decisions need to be made quickly. Some games have groups where a leader has to make fast decisions, and games become literal communities. For our discussion today, we'll be talking about solo games that involve interaction with the game in the form of NPCs and multiplayer games. Remarkably, there's no research actually out there about the impact of solo games in general on social interaction. So I'm just going to go ahead and make the correlation to multiplayer games and kind of lump them in together. The reason why is because even though there aren't physical people on the other end of those solo games, they demonstrate the impact and consequences of choices on sometimes human-like beings that can let you know what you did. So there are definite similarities, but I can't 100% say that they're the same because more recent research doesn't include those types of solo games unless they're focusing on the more violent ones. But I honestly don't think those studies are good to look at because they tend to emphasize the correlation between violent behavior IRL when someone's main game is one promoting violence. So, moral of the story is that we're combining solo RPGs and multiplayer games because both have the aspect of in-game communication, cause and effect, and decision-making that drives the gameplay. Now, it's also important before we talk about any of this to talk about the impact of excessive gaming, which is kind of an extreme on the spectrum of gaming behavior. Internet gaming disorder is actually in the DSM-5, which is an abbreviation, and it stands for the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. It's used by psychiatrists to help them give mental health diagnoses. Internet gaming disorder is woven into the sections outlining substance-related addictive disorders and gambling disorders. But specifically, internet gaming types of disorders are recognized in the section recommending further research, meaning there's not a lot on it right now, which makes sense. Even though we tend to think that the internet has been out for a while, relatively speaking, it's kind of new. But it's still significant enough to make its way into the text, which means there's enough hubbub about it. Eventually, it's anticipated that there will be enough research on it to make it a true diagnosis instead of a related diagnosis to other more established ones, which is what it is now. Even so, internet gaming disorder has a specific subset of symptoms that are very similar to gambling or substance abuse, which is why it's in those sections. Those types of symptoms are withdrawal when gaming is taken away, tolerance to more and more gaming to the point that it disrupts daily function, inability to reduce or quit playing, the use of gaming to promote a sense of temporary happiness, and risking loss due to gaming, such as a job or a relationship, all within a 12-month period. In the United States, 1 in 10 people that play video games is addicted to it. It's important to talk about this because people talk about how many hours they log in a game like it's a badge of honor, which it is most of the time. But it all needs to be talked about more so that we can prevent potential addiction that leads to other yucky stuff. Research says that excessive playtime that's related to potential addiction is more than 20 hours a week, which many MMORPG players would think, wait, you mean my Tuesday, right? But it's not all about the playtime, though. So RuneScapers especially can all breathe a collective sigh of relief. It's a lot of other factors too. But really, with discussions about mental health, substance abuse, and addictive behavior gaining more traction these days, and with more help being developed for all those things, it's my hope that those kinds of things can eventually be translated into gaming disorders as well. We gotta protect each other, you know? All that being said, when gaming habits enter into this territory, There's overwhelming evidence that social interactions definitely suffer because the game itself overpowers any potential impact that interaction could have on the individual. Now, on to more happy things. So, most studies take a look at the social and psychological impact of recreational gamers, which is somewhere between casual players, which is more me, and the people known in the RuneScape world as the sweaty gamers, who log long hours and have pretty well-defined in-game goals based on efficiency and strategy. As I mentioned before, people play video games for a lot of reasons, which is important to remember. When playing games, especially with others or with in-game characters that can be interacted with, choices have to be made, strategies have to be developed, and you definitely have to think on the fly. Video games provide mental challenges for gamers in a lot of ways. There are so many genres of games that cater to what each person is into, and each one of them brings something different to the table, whether it's Farming Simulator or Apex Legends. There's evidence to support that the social skills players learn in online video games can actually translate into IRL interactions. They can also improve conversation skills, which means people learn how to communicate in different ways with different kinds of people based on different situations. Even people that play first-person shooters or more violent games with other players, as opposed to playing alone, reduces feelings of hostility and still promotes cooperative interactions with others. Never mind telling kids to sit in Call of Duty. That doesn't count here. On another note, the studies out there these days show that gaming as a distraction goes along with lower self-esteem and more negative outlooks on life, which you could argue is a stereotypical gamer, you know? But playing a more social game with others actually combats that. I would venture to say most gamers play a combination of both solo and group games at some point in their gaming life. And if you're primarily a solo gamer, there is still a community of solo gamers out there that you can find, likely on Reddit, ranting about some unnecessary game update. Even there, you've got a sense of belonging. All in all, we've got some pretty cool side effects from a few clicks on a screen or tap of a controller, if you ask me. So, it's no surprise that evidence supports video games as an overarching method to improve social interaction when used in moderation and not moving towards excessive use or addictive behavior. Now, are you ready for me to throw a wrench in all this? Let's send it. So, we've spent the last little while talking about video games as a cause for all sorts of stuff, but here's my hot take, which is also backed up by research, if you've read between the lines a little bit. Video games aren't the cause of someone's issues. They don't cause you to have good social skills or bad social skills. Remember when I said people play games for all sorts of reasons and then told you to remember it? This is why. For a lot of people, games are a way to cope with life. It's a distraction. It's because you feel shy. Maybe you just don't want to interact with real people. Maybe you're not getting the satisfaction you need on a daily basis from what you've got going on in your daily life. Life includes all sorts of things that can mess with someone's ability to communicate, organize themselves, and pretty much just exist. In my opinion, games, when provided the right environment and circumstances, help people fill in the blanks. Games are fun, for the most part. RuneScapers would disagree, and especially I would right now while I'm going dry for a Berserker ring, but all in all, we always come back to play. Life? Not so much fun. Video games help us deal with what life throws at us and gives us little bits and pieces of the interactions we need to help us get through the day. So we learn in a more safe environment what to do and how to handle stuff. That safe environment is in the comfort of our consoles, screens, and chairs. It's almost like we practice doing life through our characters, where we can learn cause and effect, problem solving, and teamwork where it seemingly, quote unquote, doesn't matter. Games help us manifest the social skills that our innate personalities have inside us all along. I can vouch for this because I've met some amazing people through RuneScape that have so many different backgrounds and stories that make them who they are. I'm proud to know them. And my community isn't perfect either. We've had disagreements, people have come and gone. We've even experienced major life events like job changes, marriage, even death. While the game content itself isn't necessarily real because it's pixels on a screen, the relationships and communication associated with the game is 100% real. I honestly feel like I've grown because of the people in my community. I'm sure you have people you're thinking of right now. Point in case. So, what do you think? Do you agree? Disagree? Why or why not? I want to hear from you, and I'd love to read some comments and questions at the beginning of next episode. Check out how to reach me in the description of today's episode. Find me in chat on Twitch or send me a DM on Twitch or Twitter. Also, check out my website so you can get started feeling awesome outside your gaming world too. It's all at thewellnessincentive.com. Tune in next episode for more tips and tricks to get good. Thanks for hopping by, and I'll see you next time.